Let me just show you one more before I go to tell you what's going to happen to Islam. Go over to the 83rd chapter of the book of Psalm. 83rd chapter of the book of Psalm. In Psalm 83, what is happening here is that the psalmist is praying to God, please don't be silent in what's going on. Notice what he says here in his prayer. Verse 1, chapter 83 of Psalms. Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace. Be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult. And they that hate thee have lifted up thy head. And they that take crafty counsel against thy people and consult against thy hidden ones. Now notice what they're going to say when they have this conference and come together. Verse 4. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. We want to wipe them out, forget their name forever. Let me just show you a couple of the names that we haven't already mentioned, listed here of countries. Look at verse 6. The tabernacles of Edom. That's the Palestinians, and I'll talk about them more in depth tonight. Look at the next one. The Ishmaelites. That's modern-day Saudi Arabia. And I'll explain that in just a moment. No, go down to the next verse, if you will. Oh, look at the last one in verse 6, the Hagarenes, and that would be modern-day Iran. That is a country to the east of Jerusalem. And then in verse 7, it says the last one, Tyre. That's modern-day Lebanon. Tyre and Sidon, modern-day Lebanon. In verse 8, Asher is modern-day Syria. It was July the 9th, 2006. In Tehran, 4,000 Islamic Arab leaders had gathered together. Ahmadinejad, president of Iran, was standing and addressing the crowd. Here's what he said. We must rise up as Muslims and wipe Israel off the face of the earth, that their name may be forgotten. Forgotten? Forever. That's almost verbatim from the text. That their name be forgotten forever. That was July 9th, 2006. July 12th, Hezbollah broke across the northern border of Israel, killed some Israeli Defense Force soldiers, took two of them captive, and then ensued a 34-day war where the invincible Israeli Defense Force was brought down according to their perception. And it was all under the context, we must wipe Israel off the face of the earth, that their name be forgotten forever. The text. You say, well, man, these Arabs are the enemies. And all of these Arab nations. No, excuse me. These are not all Arab nations. Turkey's not an Arab nation. Iran, Afghanistan, Pakistan, not an Arab nation. But they are all Islamic. By the way, Ishmael did not start the Arab world. Go back to chapter 16, just a moment. Chapter 16, we're going to hurry and come back here. Chapter 16 of Genesis, don't have a long time to go into this, but let me show you something. Chapter 16 talks about the birth of Ishmael. And let me prove in one statement, one sentence, one verse that Ishmael did not father all of the Arab world. Chapter 16, verse 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaiden, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And so, and I have a PhD, not an MD, so I may not quite know it the way it's supposed to be, but if there's an MD in the audience, I would like for you to either confirm or deny what I'm going to say. And here it is. I think it is impossible for a son to father his mother. I think that is correct. Do you want me to take my tongue out of my cheek now? Ishmael did not father the Egyptians. His mother was one of them. In fact, look back at chapter, go back to chapter 10 just a moment of Genesis. Let me show you something. This is a genealogy of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Look at Ham just a moment, verse 6. And the sons of Ham, Cush. Who did I say that was? Ethiopia, Somalia, Sudan. Look at the next one in verse 6. Mizraim, that's modern-day Egypt. Put, that's modern-day Libya. Look at verse 8. And Cush begot Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. Look at verse 10. In the beginning of his kingdom was Babel in the land of Shinar. That's modern-day Iraq. You heard what I've just said, have you not? I have just mentioned Arab nations, and Ishmael was not on the scene for at least 500 years. Because between Genesis chapter 10 and Genesis chapter 16 is over 500 years. Ishmael did not father the Arab world. Where did he go to live? Go to chapter 25 just a second. Genesis chapter 25. It talks about, in fact, chapter 17, verse 20, in a pre-incarnate appearance, Jesus Christ told Ishmael, or told actually Abraham, his father, that Ishmael would be the father of one nation, not the father of many nations, one nation. You can read the text. It's chapter 17 of Genesis, verse 20. In chapter 25, it records what happened. Notice where Ishmael went to live in verse 18. And they dwell from Havilah unto Shur, that is before Egypt, as thou goest toward Assyria. And he died in the presence of all of his brethren. That is modern day Arabia or Saudi Arabia. That's where he went to live. And in the text, it says what happened. Look up here in verse 16. These are the sons of Ishmael. And these are their names by their towns and by their castles. 12 princes according to their nations. I thought I had a problem when I read that. Because I said he fathered one nation. This is talking about nations. But I got a King James Bible. Please excuse me. I'm not attacking the King James. But I want to tell you something that I think the interpreter interpolated what he was trying to present here. Because when he used the word castle, this is 4,000 years ago. They went to Arabia to live, and there weren't any castles in Arabia in that time. And in fact, there are no castles in Arabia today. So I think in 1611, the translators of the King James inserted what they thought. If a prince is living in a building or something, it must be a castle. And they must have had nations. Well, if you look at the Hebrew, the original text, the word for nations there is umam, not goy, or goyim, for nations. And it means tribe. And the word used here for castle means, in its true translation, tent. And the word for princes means chief. Now, if you look at the translation in its proper Hebrew text, you see that Ishmael had 12 sons. They were chiefs of tribes living in tents. Hello? That's exactly what you do in Arabia. You're a chief of a tribe living in a tent. You know what the word Arab in Arabic is? It means Bedouin or nomad. What are those Arabians? King Abdullah? He wears that white outfit with that funny-looking headdress. He's a Bedouin. What does a Bedouin do? Wanders around in the desert watching over his sheep and his goats. He has a tent that he lives in. It's made out of goat hair. It has a transportable system that you can put your poles up. And when the grasses are gone from that part of the desert, and grass does grow in the desert, by the way, they can move to greener pastures. So they pull the poles out and they move their tent, not a castle. He went to Arabia to live. And out of that Arabian, you know what the word Islam means? It doesn't mean peace. Salam in Arabic is peace. Islam means submission. And these princes would go up and take control of their brothers who were other princes, and they would bring them under submission. They were Islamic fighters. You know how they got all charged up to do it? They used hashish in a water pipe. That's called hashashim. You hear that English word in there? Hashashim? Assassin. That's where our word comes from. And that culture continued for 4,000 years, or excuse me, 2,500 years to about 1,300 years ago in the 6th and 7th century when Muhammad came to power. And he said, I am a direct descendant of Ishmael. And I'm going to take all of those gods on the Kaaba, which is the middle of that great Colosseum where they march around when they go for their pilgrimage, the Hajj. There were 360 gods. He took them all except one off, Allah, which was the moon god, not God that I worship in another name, because their God has no sun, makes him an antichrist. And Islam was established. And I don't have time to deal with Islam, but it is a satanic religion that will not exist with any other religion. That's why they are doomed. Go back and we close. Just give me two more minutes, please. We close Ezekiel chapter 38. Let me show you what's going to happen to Islam. What is going to happen is these nations are going to come. Let me tell you when they're going to come. In verse 8, it says they come. Look at the last phrase in verse 8. When the people are gathered out against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste, but they are brought into the land and dwelling safely. In verse 11, it says they will live in unwalled cities. That's when the Antichrist has established a false peace, a pseudo peace. And that's when these enemies attack, when the nation of Israel has laid down their weapons. Unwalled cities, that means they laid down their defense. A wall 2,500 years ago was in place of what they have today as F-16 fighters, MiG-15 tanks, Apache helicopters. When they lay down their weapons, they come into attack. Verses 18 to the rest of the chapter 23 talks about how there will be out of the heavenlies. This is Jesus Christ leading the attack on these attacking nations. Look at chapter 39, verse 1. Therefore, thou son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. God is against these attacking enemies. Notice what's going to happen, verse 2. This is the King James, and I will turn thee back and leave but a sixth part of thee. Now, if you have a different translation, it won't say five out of six are going to be destroyed. But if you read the rest of the verses there, and I will smite, verse 3, smite the bow out of thy left hand and cause the arrows to fall out of thy right hand. And thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, thou and all of thy bands, in other words, all of thy nations, and thy people that is with thee. And I will give thee unto the ravenous birds of every sort, the beast of the field to devour them. Look up here, please, just a moment. The rapture of the church is the next main event in God's calendar of activities. There will be a period of time after that before the 7 years starts. What did I say started the 7-year period of time? That peace agreement that is confirmed by Antichrist with Israel. And when that happens, Israel lays down their weapons and this nation, or these nations, attack Israel. And what happens? They're wiped out by 5-6. Five out of every six Islamic people on this earth will be destroyed. And when does that peace agreement come? The first event that starts the 7 years in the time of the tribulation. Why does this have to happen? Where was the Antichrist when he comes back in Daniel 11? The city of Rome. What was he doing? Putting together a one world false religion. 17th chapter of the book of Revelation. So he establishes the peace. He goes to Rome to establish the false church, the harlot church. And the nations attack. And they're wiped out by 5-6. Why? Islam, listen, will not collaborate with a false religion. Islam is exclusive. Thus, they must be wiped off the face of the earth for Revelation 17 to take place. Over here before the rapture, Islam, and we're not going to get rid of it. On 9/11, Pandora's box was opened. The Islamic terrorist genie escaped. We're not going to put it back in the box. It was the beginning of the end. The rapture takes place. We depart. These nations attack Israel, and they're wiped out. But until that time, until the rapture, they are the force that must be dealt with. And that's the time in which we're living. today. Father, thank you for helping us understand the times in which we're living in light of your prophetic scenario. We honor you for honoring us with this information. Help us as we take this information and deal with it in our own daily personal lives, that we may live in expectancy the any moment return of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name.